You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Right now, it's time to talk film with Josh Nelson. His blog is called Filmology.com with a PH. Josh, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Now, I love the premise for In a World because, of course, it's all about trailers and we all love to satirize the ridiculous trailers that get thrown at us. I think we'll play a bit of the trailer for the film about people who make trailers. It's called In a World. Have a listen.
In a World.
In a world.
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 In a world.
Hey, make sure your phone's turned off. I think we're getting some feedback out here.
Oh. Sorry.
Ready.
This Wednesday, one woman will teach another woman.
I just woke up, so my voice is cold.
Let's face it, the industry does not crave a female sound.
Yeah, Dad, you've been painfully aware of that my whole life.
Not being sexist, that's just the truth. You should stick with the accents. That's what you're good at. What was that great, that Russian Star Wars thing you used to do as a kid?
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Please, let me hear.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
I just love that.
So it is about a woman who voices trailers and voices lots of other things. It's called In a World. Josh, it sounds like a fantastic topic for a film. I mean, give us a basic idea of the plot and what you thought.
Great premise, great trailer. Execution, questionable.
Right.
It's about a woman who's the daughter of a famous trailer voiceover artist, well-established. The voice you heard there at the start of that trailer, that infamous or famous voice of Don LaFontaine, who's now dead, unfortunately, who says, In a World, which was his trademark, is this idea that that's the pinnacle that every voiceover artist is aspiring to. So this daughter of the famous one is trying to break out. She's struggling. Her dad's already recognized another man as his heir apparent. And she's sort of starting a rivalry with this guy. And in between, we have infidelity and love and some quirky rom-com stuff there as well. And the sad thing is it just doesn't come together. And I think, you know, part of it is the script for me feels really limp. It doesn't have the wit of a Woody Allen. It doesn't have the bite of a Larry David. Mm. It's just kind of soft and toothless.
Are all the good bits in the trailer?
I laughed repeatedly for the opening credits, which is full of interviews with Don LaFontaine, and then that's where the laughter stopped. Mm-hmm. And, this film felt like being stuck in a stand-up gig where you're sitting and you've got people either side of you in the row and people are laughing and you're just sitting there thinking.
Oh, so everyone else in the audience liked it. You were in the distinct minority.
Well, no, I saw it by myself.
Oh, okay.
But this is the analogy is, this has had some critical praise, particularly from Sundance, but you can't kind of get up and leave and you're just sort of stuck there for 90 right. minutes and you're just not on the wavelength.
Oh, it's had lots of good reviews, this film, hasn't it?
It has. Oh, I think the thing that really frustrated, I mean, if it had just petered out and it had the sort of saccharine, rom-com ending, I probably could have walked out and gone, you know what, it's a middle-of-the-road rom-com, indie rom-com with, an interesting idea that doesn't kind of meet the potential. But I think ultimately what really frustrated me about this film is it's aiming for a gender statement about the film industry, which I think is fine. And it's talking about the place of women and the rivalry and I guess the gender imbalance. But,
which, again, is a ripe topic. You think that'd be great.
Really fantastic. And where I think the film falls down and where I'm probably more negative about the film than I would have been otherwise, is I think it ends up coming off as a far more reactionary statement than a proto-feminist statement, which is, I think, is what the director was aiming for.
Sure, what do you mean by reaction as opposed to...
Well, reactionary as in the sense that I think she's trying to sort of elevate the position of women within the film industry or bring this issue to a head. But in the end, the film really endorses the idea that women without talent really should succeed just because they're women, which I think is a really problematic statement. And I think where it falls down is it's not willing to make the lead character competent. If we'd seen her as a really remarkable voiceover artist struggling to break into the film industry, and we have this other perception as a kind of with a critical distance or as the opposing viewpoint, I think the film would have been far more successful playing that feminist line. But because it sort of ends on a really sort of, I think it was quite sour note. And also it finishes with a bit of the idea of the makeover that women, particularly women with a certain type of voice, feminine voice, need to become more masculine in order to seem more professional, which left a really bitter taste in my mouth.
And just going back there away from the more small P political analysis, does it work just character arc-wise, story arc-wise? Does it kind of carry off the story?
Yeah, look, it's a film, it's a story, it's a narrative that we've seen before.
Yeah.
It's kind of that run-of-the-mill rom-com with just a slightly more indie feel and some sort of cameos from people like Gina Davis, Nick Offerman, but it just doesn't, it just lacks something. I think it sells the idea short, which could have been really great, and I think, you know, it's one of the films that can be sort of marked under lost potential.
Ah, oh, damn, because it's just, it's its own little cultural form, the trailer, In a World. In a World is the name of the film. Josh Nelson's with me. By the way, interested to know your favourite film about making films. Now, I've got a few. You're not allowed to say Bad Boy Barbie. But your favourite, or might be your most hated, but the most notable film about making film for you. The phone number, of course, is 1300-222-774. Stu from Research, very good. Maybe Trailer Trash would be a more appropriate title.
Nice.
Ba-dum-tsh, I like that. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. The text is 0437-774-774. I think one of my actual favourite films is a film about making a film, but I won't mention it yet. Yeah, Saving Mr. Banks. Have you seen? I haven't seen Saving Mr. Banks.
I have.
Is that a film about making a film?
It's a film about making Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's right. That's the Tom Hanks and
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson, right. Okay.
Yeah, not bad.
Good? Yeah, not bad. 1300-222-774. Now, I'm a bit slow, my friend, so forgive me. It's taken me a while to get around to seeing all the Oscar films. I have now seen American Hustle, which I loved. It's kind of this heist flick set in the 70s, but there's a whole lot of other things going on as well. Christian Bale, Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, and an astonishing performance from Amy Adams. I just wanted to, I think I need to say to Josh, you were right and I was wrong. Am I wrong, though, to think that there's actually quite a lot going on in American Hustle, like heist flick, great conversations between men and women, fantastic fashion, and really quite complex and deep acting.
For the most part, yeah. My memory is a little hazy, but I enjoyed it. I still feel like the wealth of critical love for this film was a little bit out of touch with the final product. I think it was a bit too light. Well, it was a little uneven, and it's something I have a problem with a lot of David O. Russell films, where it's this curious mix between kind of camp, really camp humour, and quite serious drama. It didn't work at all in The Fighter. It worked better here, and I think it's because of the four great or five great lead performances are so kind of captivating. And the one who really deserves a shout-out, who I don't think kind of got a nod, I think this is Robert De Niro's best, even though it's a cameo, best film for years.
Yeah, well, he was very, very good. He's the mob. He's fantastic in it. Look, me personally, I would recommend American Hustle. And what I loved, was that the women were really real. It's so often the case that the women are not three-dimensional, they're not central, and it is genuine ensemble acting, especially Christian Bale and Amy Adams. They both just... I mean, you know, I saw Amy Adams in the Muppet movie and I was like, who is this woman? Yes. And she is just extraordinary.
Yeah, strength to strength. Hustle.
Yeah, fantastic. And Christian Bale, changing my mind. I cannot keep up with the texts about filmmaking. Wag the Dog. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that one, but definitely. Easy Raff, my favourite is Get Shorty. That's from Alex. I like it. It's got to be The Player, Raff, surely. Haven't seen The Player in a while. Loved The Player. Robert Altman.
Tim Robbins,
thank you. Was escaping me. Bowfinger? I don't remember.
It was on TV last week. Yeah, Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin.
Boogie Nights. Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Any mention we can give to Boogie Nights. But that is a film about making films. Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. Hercules Returns. And The Stuntman. What a movie. Yeah, I'm not sure I remember The Stuntman. I think I saw that.
Is that the Peter O'Toole one?
Yes, but I think that's ages ago. I don't remember it. And Matt saying Exit Through the Gift Shop about Banksy. Yep, I'll buy that. I like that a lot. We've got another film to talk about. It's called The Missing Picture. It has to do with Cambodia. It looks fantastic. But let's go to some of your calls on films about making films. I know I was a bit slow to get to American Hustle, but I couldn't resist. Paul's called from North Melbourne. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
I'm well. What's your film?
Days and Night, made by Francois Truffaut, quite a while ago now, the late 60s, roughly.
I haven't seen it. Remind me or tell everyone what it's about.
Well, basically, it's that they are making a film, and there is a lot of the scenarios in the film are related to characters that are both the actors and also their spouses and friends and other, and just how it resolves. It's quite good.
Okay, I'll stick that on the long list of films I haven't seen, but should. Are you a fan?
Francois Truffaut, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it was one of the early ones.
Like
it was postmodern before postmodern was popular.
I hated hipsters so before you did. Lost in Translation is another one. Great. And Tropic Thunder. Yes, definitely. I love it. 1300-222-774. A few more to mention. Argo and Newsfront. And also, David O. Russell has written some of the best female parts in the last few years. That's from Steph in Windsor, a fan of the man who directed American Hustle. We'll get to you a traffic update in just a moment. But Nige has called from North Fitzroy. Hi, Nige.
Oh, hey there, Raph.
How you going, Nige?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
I loved your Libido X Machina, Josh. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to put it in there. I just wanted to comment on that first call you had talking about Dave and Nige.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, has he not seen 8.5, Fellini's masterpiece from 1963?
Should he have?
I think he should have, and that would just blow anything he knew about Day for Night in the Water. I mean, it references 8.5 all through the movie, and I think if you're going to see Day for Night, which really I prefer to call La Nuit Americaine, which is the French title,
right.
then he really should see 8.5 first.
So Fellini and Truffaut are sort of the high point, and basically the history of cinema after that's all just sinking into the trough?
I think so. I mean, I gave up on English language movies when I was about 13, Raph. I think anything that can be done has been done by the French and the Italians.
That's pretty depressing. So what, you just watch all the old ones? You don't bother going to watch the new ones?
Oh, there are a couple of new ones that might be worth a little bit of a laugh. But yeah, I mean, film went colour, it sort of lost a little bit of its magic. Right.
There's no sort of obscure Armenian or Iranian filmmaker doing some great stuff somewhere?
I'm sure there is. I don't have it on hand.
Right.
Yeah, often the movies I see, the names are too difficult to pronounce.
Thanks, Nige. That must be a reminder. The Coulda Beans are on after Hillary, 10 o'clock tomorrow. It's all been downhill, basically, cinema since it went colour.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is with me. His blog is filmology.com. It's spelt with a PH. We were talking about In a World. It's a comedy about a woman who's involved in the trailer industry. So we're talking about films about films. I'll get to some more of your texts. They're flying through thick and fast, including Chaplin, a film about a filmmaker, and Singing in the Rain, which I think is also about the demise of silent. It's about, you know, it's the coming of the talkies, etc., which I did not think of when we thought of this topic. I'm loving it. A few of you have given us that example. I'll get to some more of your calls in a moment, but I do want to give Josh a chance to chat about The Missing Picture. We can't play the trailer for this one, or we won't, I should say, because it's in another language. Tell me about The Missing Picture.
Missing Picture is from a Cambodian-French filmmaker, Rithi Pan, who... I guess you'd call The Missing Picture a documentary. It was actually nominated under the Best Foreign Language Film category at the recent Academy Awards. And it really is about his experiences growing up under the Pol Pot regime, the Khmer Rouge, which he escaped from in 1979. But told with a difference, and this is something that makes this film quite remarkable, he reconstructs scenarios and memories from his childhood through handcrafted and hand-painted clay figurines, which he positions in various sort of tableau, almost like those childhood sort of schoolyard dioramas. Did you have to make one of those when you were going back in the day?
I looked at the trailer, and let me just say that none of my dioramas ever looked nearly as good. No, I don't think I went to a very old-fashioned school. I don't think we did dioramas. We just basically did our times table and spelling, and you know, the rest of the time you got stuck outside in the rain playing with your footy cards.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give the impression that his dioramas are amateurish or childlike at all.
No,
they're quite remarkable. Mm. But there's something. There's something really interesting about that, taking that approach to a theme, a historical period, and a documentary, which could have just been another kind of horrors on show. It really isn't that at all. And I think using the figurines in that way and contrasting it with archival footage as well and bouncing back and forth and constructing or structuring the entire thing through a voiceover. And it's a French voiceover, and it's his recollections. You know, it has this sense of distancing the audience, almost giving them a kind of a safe distance to engage with what's really a testimonial of what he went through and the kind of and the sort of horrors, but in a way that is sort of curious because one of the key things that this documentary is reaching for is this idea of the missing picture. And he talks about this in relation to one specific scene where he talks about the Khmer Rouge photographing their torches and why would you do that? And can you find the images of that which have since been destroyed? But also that his entire experiences and those of the people who are no longer there are the missing picture and they need to be retold.
So it sounds, to be honest, a bit like Art Spiegelman's Mouse, to use a really simple but beautiful artistic form to explore what most of us find inexplicable and almost impossible to even talk about,
yeah,
and express.
That's the exact same example I was thinking of that first came to mind. It's very much in the mould of or the guise of those French New Wave documentaries by filmmakers like Alain René, who did Night and Fog, which is a remarkable documentary on the Holocaust. Chris Mark is another filmmaker that approached this the idea of a historical horror, but with a kind of poetic testimonial, with this voiceover. And it's that contrast between observations and silence, and that contemplation and that space that you get for an audience to contemplate these childlike scenes, and also the fact that, you know, he's using his hands when we see him at various points carving the figures.
Oh, okay.
So it's about him, it's almost the art as therapy as well. Like, he's creating this documentary, you get the sense, in order to come to terms with the horrors that he's going through.
And it is his voice, the voiceover, I'm assuming.
I have a feeling that it's his words, but I think it's someone else who's actually voicing it. But yeah, a really remarkable film, and only on limited release. It's only showing at the Cinema Nova here in Melbourne. But The Missing Picture, yeah, it's a strangely moving documentary.
And the sort of thing I imagine, too, that would definitely come out on DVD. That's called The Missing Picture. A few of your texts. Oh, yes, Paul from Richmond, you and me, same. Heart of Darkness about Apocalypse Now. One of my absolute favourite films. Someone texting in King Kong as a film about the making of... Oh, yeah, okay.
It does. It starts
a film
off,
about the making of a film. Okay, like it. Woody Allen's Purple Rose of Cairo. Oh, I'm just loving where your minds are going. Diane Oakley, that was her suggestion. Ed in St Kilda. Ralph, just wondering how Nige would go with a film made by a French Cambodian. He'd love it.
He'd watch it without subtitles.
Now, we're opening ourselves up to a whole heap of pain here because someone wants to suggest a TV show. The final season of Dawson's Creek was all about making a TV show, which was called The Creek. Classic teen drama, was it?
I don't know. TV went meta long ago and hasn't ever really recovered.
Seinfeld. That was about to. You remember there's the thing where they make. Anyway.
Well, is there a sitcom now that isn't the direct address to camera? Since the British Office, every sort of sitcom now is aping that format.
And none have done it as well. Jim's called from Riddles Creek. Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for your show. It's great to have movies stimulate your mind about things. And two come to mind. One is the movie 8mm by the kids who are on the railway platform there making a movie. The train comes around the corner and a massive derailment, and that's really one for watching.
Yep.
Really good. And the other one is Mr. Bean goes on holiday.
I haven't seen that. Is he making a film in the film?
That is insane. That is, you need to have a whole big box of popcorn and watch that. That's awesome.
Okay, look, I'll stick that one on the list as well, Jim. I like it. And Mark's called from Glen Iris. Mark, what's yours?
Ben Stiller in Tropic Thunder. At the start, there's about four versions of his previous movies, all starting with Inner World.
Oh. You know, I've never seen Tropic Thunder. It's one that's dropped off the list. I should hire that one, shouldn't I?
Yeah, it's a spoof, yeah.
Okay. And that's Robert Downey Jr. as a black man, isn't it?
Yeah, he's very, very interesting.
Tom Cruise?
Yes, he is too.
Tom Cruise as well. Wow, scary. Okay, look, thank you, Mark.
Okay.
The Artist, indeed. That's another fantastic suggestion. I'm just looking through the text. And
no one's mentioned Inland Empire.
What's that?
That's the David Lynch film. Or Mulholland Drive, also film within a film.
Yeah,
reality bleeding with fantasy.
That's a really quite disturbing film, Mulholland Drive.
Both
and that has that amazing scene when the Australian woman, Naomi Watts, does that incredible transformation in her audition.
Yep.
That is some seriously scary acting. That's
that is the scene that made her, I think.
You know, oh, do you think?
Yeah, I think that was the moment when people went, wow, she can really act.
That
know,
is
she's great.
Dynamite, yeah. You're like just watching someone transform before your eyes. Just absolute dynamite. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh is a film critic. You can check out his blog at filmology.com. It's spelt with a P-H.